Live from the KTSW studios in San Marcos, Texas, this is Bobcat Radio.
Good morning, Bobcat and Rattler fans, and welcome to this Monday edition of Bobcat Radio on April 15th, 2024. We got a good lineup for you guys here today. I'm your host, Kobe Jackson, alongside my wonderful producer, Caleb Wellmore, and my lovely co-host, Roderick Jackson. Lots to unravel here today, digging into some Texas State tennis as they took a difficult loss to none other than Louisiana. Also, Texas State baseball and softball in action, and as well as the Texas State football spring game, as we got to see some of the new players and old veterans take the stage for the spring game this past Saturday. But before we get into that, let's throw it to Roderick for a quick word from our sponsor.
Twin Peaks Restaurant and Sports Bar is a sponsor of this broadcast of Bobcat Radio. Located on the northbound frontage road of I-35 at Guadalupe Street in San Marcos, Twin Peaks has bites, wings, burgers, sandwiches, and more. Info and menu at twinpeaksrestaurant.com. Twin Peaks, eats, drinks, scenic views.
Thank you, Roderick. Now let's go and get into the swing of things. We're going to start off with some Texas State women's tennis as they took on, strangely enough, the Louisiana Raging Cajuns after coming off a victorious game against the Georgia State Panthers last Sunday. They played on Saturday with the final score of 4-3. And just kind of looking at the stat lines for that, the Bobcats once again have struggled in the doubles matches. They only took one game out of the doubles matches with Maria Laura and Sophia Fraterno taking the first doubles game. However, Emily Nyers and Emma Carr and Mae McCutcheon and Jada Chan could not get the other two doubles matches. And then just think, the Bobcats were successful against the singles matches against Georgia State last week, but this time they kind of struggled a little bit, as they only took only two games out of the six. So I mean, you know, obviously the Bobcats have reached their mark. They've, you know, won obviously 10 games in the season, which is the most in program history in quite a while. So I mean, this is a team that can do some damage. Unfortunately, just could not get anything going this weekend. So they lost 4-3, which honestly, it's not bad, but at the same time, it's not the worst. And just kind of looking back at these last few weeks, they lost to Troy back on April 5th with a final score of 4-3. They beat Georgia State on April 7th with the final score of 4-3. On the other side of it, they won. And then this past weekend, they lost 4-3. So all the games so far in the last three have been significantly close. But I want to throw it to you guys, you know, tennis, this is their last. They got one more shot to get a big time win before they head off to Rome, Georgia for the Sun Belt Conference tournament. And, you know, want to throw it to y'all. What do you think the Bobcats just need to do?
I mean, you know, like you said, all these games have been pretty close for them these last coming games throughout the season. And, you know, this is a talented tennis group here. Like, they're not to be underestimated. So I think, you know, coming into this game against ULM, they just need to kind of get their momentum back and make sure they come out with a W, because momentum is real, and you will want to have that kind of going into your postseason. But I mean, like you said, doubles matches, they just can't really seem to get it done. You know, when you only have one pair out of the three that's really putting up numbers, it's kind of hard for you to come out with a W. But nonetheless, it was close. So I mean, props to the tennis team, props to the singles matches though. However, Kiana Graham got her third consecutive singles match win, so that's amazing for her. Callie Kreith grabbed her 10th singles win of the season. So, you know, those are good standout things, you know. So maybe they might not be strong in doubles, but in singles, they kind of pick it back up, and that's where they get their points from.
Yeah.
So if they could just possibly get the doubles matches a little bit higher, possibly get a little, like, one more win in the doubles matches, they could really beat anybody.
So now looking at the Sun Belt Conference standings, the Bobcats are currently sitting 9th in the Sun Belt right now. Right above them is Old Dominion, who was sitting number 1. Marshall behind them. Troy at 3. South Alabama, Coastal, Georgia Southern, App State, and then Texas State. So in all honesty, I think Texas State is in a comfortable position, quite honestly. They're sitting right in the middle of the pack. So, I mean, I think they're going to be fine for the most part. But like Roddy, you just said, I think the ULM win is a very significant win that the Bobcats need to get. And just think, that it's back-to-back Louisiana team. So to first you take on Louisiana this past weekend. Now you got to face ULM. So I kind of found that funny.
You got to go down there too. So
yeah, exactly. But think that the Louisiana game, that was their last home game of the season. So, you know, I kind of want to note that because on, you know, at home, the Bobcats are 5-4 and then on the road, they're 5-3. So, you know, it's strange to me because the Bobcats could possibly go 6-3 if, you know, they go down to Monroe, Louisiana, or they could go 5-4, which honestly, that would be interesting to see that they could be evened up. But yes, their next game is going to be on April 20th, this coming Saturday in Monroe, Louisiana. And then right after that, they'll be handing off to Rome, Georgia on April 24th through the 28th for the Sunbelt Conference Championship Tournament. So a lot is riding on that ULM game, but we're going to stay into the swing of things and we're going to get into some Texas State baseball as they took on, strangely enough, the ULM Warhawks down in Monroe, Louisiana. The Bobcats unfortunately suffered a difficult series loss. However, they did win the final game on Sunday with a final score of 13-11. So a high scoring game. But just going back on Friday and Saturday's matchup, the Bobcats lost 7-5, and then the Bobcats lost on Saturday 10-8. So kind of focusing on just the Sunday game. I mean, the Bobcats, this is one of these, honestly, looking back at the scorecard, this was one of those games where you basically, the bats brought it, and there was honestly no pitching whatsoever. So that's what basically this game was. So, but, you know, the Bobcats, they've been kind of a little bit on a slump right now. After coming back from Austin, beating the Texas Longhorns up in Dishfalk Field. And then obviously you had that 9-1 loss that was in a rain delay in San Marcos. And then they finished the game back in Austin. So they've been kind of in on a little bumpy road, but you know, they got another chance to, you know, win against Carter Ward tomorrow. But I want to throw it to you guys, you know, just looking at the stat line, what did y'all see for the Bobcats? What did y'all see from this baseball team? And you know, what can they improve on heading into San Antonio tomorrow?
Yeah, man. Just talk about the Sunday game. I mean, like Chase Mora getting that 4 RBIs and then Coulter getting 2 RBIs as well. And then about like 4 other people also getting some singles in there. So, I mean, we have no problem scoring and hitting the ball. But, I mean, the pitching. We've talked about the pitching. I've talked about the pitching multiple times. Yeah. We're in these close games. So I feel like if the pitching could just like, if we could just like lock up the pitching and we can win some of these games. Cause I mean, we went 1-2 against ULM. These are all like 2-score games that were like in the Bobcats hands. And they could have easily won these games with some better pitching in line. Cause obviously we can score, we can outscore anybody. Like we beat Texas. Right. So I don't think, Our defense is really in question here. It's more about the pitching, and we know the offense can hold up.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you look at the scorecard. I mean, talking about big names, Cameron Wall also came up with an RBI, 2 homers. Dalen Pena, who has been electric the whole season long. Absolutely. When it comes to hitting on the plate, he went 2-for-4, but also had 2 homers. So, I mean, it's nice to see that your leaders on offense are really stepping up and making plays because, again, we talk about the pitching and how it's kind of hard for the pitching to find their ground a lot of games, and we see it happen here apparently again because, I mean, I don't know if you've seen these games, Kobe, but they've kind of, the pitching, it's a lot of, there's a lot of young guys that start games off, you know, and there's no, you know, no kind of diss to any younger guys because obviously they need that experience, but it's kind of, the Bobcats play a lot of back. They kind of catch up a lot in that because of that. And when you have your experienced pitchers coming to close and coming to relief, it's kind of hard for them. I mean, it's a weird strategy in my mind because it's, you know, you're kind of putting the pressure on your offense, and, you know, the offense already has to do so much. And I feel like a lot of other teams just take advantage. They like to come out because we've also seen them lose because other teams just come out early. They come out swinging early, and then by the time they're ready to play catch up, it's too far gone. So I think for the baseball team, I think they just need to figure out a new game plan, new strategy, maybe come out a little stronger in the beginning of the game. I mean, obviously they came out strong here in this, the first inning, already 7 runs. So they kind of found a little rhythm there and found what works there. But I just think consistency then, you know, if that worked for this game, then we need to consistently find a way to make that work for every game. Because if you play like that, you'll win every game. So,
yeah, indeed. So the Texas State Bobcats will be heading down to Sullivan Field in San Antonio to take on the Incarnate Word Cardinals. We will be putting that game on KTSW 89.9 tomorrow. Tune in around 1:45 for the call of the action. I believe Brant Freeman is going to be on the call for tomorrow's matchup. But we're going to take a quick break, and on the other side of it, we'll be digging into some Texas State softball. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Bobcat Radio on KTSW 89.9. All right, welcome back to this Monday edition of Bobcat Radio. I'm your host, Kobe Jackson, alongside my producer, Caleb Wellborn, and my co-host, Roderick Jackson. Now, we're going to dig into some Texas State softball as they took on a familiar face in the Sun Belt Conference in the Louisiana Raging Cajuns. So, I mean, it's been kind of a Louisiana weekend for all of the Bobcats.
No, for sure.
Bobcats. So, but this time, Louisiana softball came to town here in San Marcos. And, oh, man, there's a lot we can say. We'll go and start off by recapping the series. For the Friday game, Bobcats took a tough loss to that one, losing 7-0. And then in Saturday's game, the Bobcats lost 6-0. And then in Sunday's finale, the Bobcats won 5-0. So all shutouts, two of them went Louisiana's way. And then obviously one went to the Bobcats' way. But let's kind of just dive into really the Friday-Saturday matchup, because quite honestly, the Bobcats really struggled. Mostly, I wouldn't say really in hitting per se. I would say mostly in fielding. But the one thing that the Bobcats did struggle with this past weekend is getting runs in. Like, they would leave runners stranded on base, but they just could not drive in the runs. And honestly, that was probably one of their biggest problems this weekend. But I mean, you got to give credit to this Louisiana team. This is the same team that beat the Oklahoma Sooners early on in the year, that ended their 73-game win streak. Obviously, they're one of the defending national champions. So, I mean, when you beat them, that's pretty significant, if you ask me. So, but, I mean, other than that, Louisiana, who is currently sitting number one in the Sun Belt Conference and is the two-time defending Sun Belt Conference champions, won it back in 2022 and in 2023. So, honestly, this series was a much anticipated series, not only just for us, but for just everybody who follows Texas State softball. But, you know, I wanted to throw it to you guys. I know we're all covering this team. I know, Roderick, you were on the call for Saturday's game. So I'll start with you. I mean, what did you see from that, just Saturday's game alone and just the overall weekend for the Bobcats?
Well, Saturday, I mean, the Bobcats kind of came out. They tried to kind of switch it up and come out early. But, I mean, was Louisiana's pitcher, Chloe Rosetto, she had their number the entire game. I mean, she was in the batter's heads. She was making plays happen, not only from the mound, but even in the fielding. I mean, she was making plays there. And I think it was kind of hard for batters to get adjusted to her play style, because she wasn't doing too much. Like, you know, I think these Bobcats, they've played some of these higher teams and they play a lot of pitchers that like to get a little tricky with the ball, but Chloe Rosetto kept it real simple and it kind of worked, you know. And then on top of that, the Bobcats didn't tally a single ground out the whole season long. And then Saturday's game, they totaled two. So, I mean, the batting was kind of disappeared. It's not the team that we've seen play all season long. I mean, like you said, they got a couple of runners on base, but I mean, they only tallied like a couple of hits the whole game. Otherwise, there were ground flyouts. I mean, it was like a complete meltdown almost. You didn't see anything. I mean, Madison Azua, she was great on the mound for Bobcats pitching wise, but I mean, she also had some errors. She had multiple errors that costed them some runs. So I think it was just a complete meltdown. I think Louisiana really game planned well for the Bobcats and took note of their advantages and their weaknesses and just came out and executed.
Yeah, and talking about Friday's game, which I worked ESPN for, one of the big stories was Sam Landry, Jessica Mullins, you know, they went to the same high school. Apparently they hated each other, and and now they're rivals in the Sun Belt, you know, ranked pretty closely, number one, number two. And surprisingly, Jessica Mullins had a more poor game than what we're used to. We're used to seeing her cook, right? And I mean, Langoliers had an amazing game for the sure for the did. Cajuns, a 3-run homer, and then they had 2 more homers by Vasquez and Crater. So, it's really tough talking about this game. Obviously, it was a shutout. We only had 3 hits, which is so when our pitching isn't going well, which it usually does with Jessica Mullins, and we're not hitting the ball. Mm-hmm. I mean, we had Vanderford who had our 2 hits, and then Earls with our other one. When we're not hitting the ball well and our pitch is not going well, I mean, you can't just, like, especially against a team like the Cajuns, you can't expect anything to go well, mm-hmm. really. And it was just a lot of mistakes, a lot of errors. We had 5 errors, Jessica Mullins did, versus, Landry's 0, and she pitched all seven innings. And when we switched up the pitching with Mullins, we brought her out in the 6th. And when we brought in I don't know who came in for her. I forgot. But we brought her in, and then they hit it like back-to-back homers. As soon as we took her out.
I want to say it was McCann that was.
I think it was. I think it McCann, was Torrey.
Yeah,
it was Torrey McCann.
It might have been. Yeah. As soon as we took Mullins out, they hit 2 back-to-back homers. Like it was really sad. So I think obviously we took it on Sunday, but like just getting shut out like back to back is really a struggle, especially for our offense. So it does bring it into question a little bit. But I do trust in Jessica Mullins. Maybe it's just an off day for her or whatever. But I trust her.
So it was Carson Pierce that relieved Jessica Mullins on Friday's game for that 7-0 loss. But now just kind of going into Sunday's game, because I had the privilege to talking with head coach Ricky Werder after the Saturday shutout, and she basically just said cut straight to the chase. Like, we got to do better on the fielding side of the ball, and we got to be more aggressive than they did. And sure enough, the Bobcats did that on Sunday's matchup. And just think, it was senior weekend, because they were honoring a few seniors. Seniors this weekend. They were honoring Piper Randolph and Hannah Earls on Saturday's matchup, and then they were honoring Jessica Mullins and JJ Smith yesterday in Sunday's match, Sunday's game. So, but just going to Sunday's game yesterday, Bobcats started strong, and I mean really strong. So, I mean, first off, Sam Landry and Jessica Mullins were both toeing the rubber again. And just think, Rhea Sutto for Louisiana did come in, but she came in at a weird time, because at the time when she came in, she had the bases loaded that Sam Landry put up for the Cajuns. And I was kind of surprised, because, Landry can get out of those situations when she can. We've seen it really all season from the Louisiana Raging Cajuns team. So I was kind of surprised that they took her out and put Rhea Sutto in. And then, the rest is history. Is, Katarina Zarate, she had a great game of her own yesterday. She had a 2 RBI double, and she had a solo home run of her own as well. And then Megan Kellner, who was absolutely outstanding, had a 2 RBI double back in the second inning, and also making great plays on the defensive side. And I kind of want to mention that, because the Bobcats had so many great defensive plays in Sunday's game. There was a fly ball into left, because remember, obviously, Sydney Harvey's in position for Sarah Trahan, who's out for the year due to a torn ACL. And then she had a diving catch in left field. Vanderford had 2 spectacular plays. She had a diving catch off of a bunt, which is something you don't really see that often. So she had that, and she had a catch over the Bobcats dugout, where she just basically stuck the glove out and she made the great grab. And then Megan Kellner, she had like 2 diving plays off of pop outs, and there were short ones too. And like I said, defensively, Bobcats played a very exceptional softball. And Mullins completed the game. She pitched the whole 7 innings. So obviously, this was a bounce back game that the Bobcats needed. And quite honestly, I think this is a tune up, because next up for the Bobcats, they'll be facing another rivalry. This time it's down I-35 in San Antonio against UTSA. So want to kind of ask you guys, does this win help the Bobcats build momentum and possibly can coast for the rest of this season?
I think the Bobcats, they're kind of in a weird spot here, because, I mean, on one hand, it gets some momentum because you just won your last, game fully played, but you also did just come off of a loss in a series. So it's kind of like you're kind of figuring out well, we saw what works, but how do we push it further, kind of? And I think another thing that I touched on during Saturday's game was fatigue. Mm-hmm. I think this team is starting to show a little fatigue throughout the season because they've been playing hard every game of all season long. And I think it's getting to that point in the season where fatigue is starting to show. When you talk about Jessica Mullins and how she's so, like, her endurance is something else. But, I mean, that's probably number one most fatigued on the team right now. When you talk about complete games and game starts, she started pretty much most, like, not if all games this season. And then she's pitched about half of the games completely just by herself. So I think it's definitely the momentum win is nice to know that you found something that works. And so let's translate it into San Antonio in this upcoming week, because you can beat San Antonio. We've taken their number before. So I don't want to say it's like a difficult matchup, but it's definitely something not to just take lightly either.
Yeah. So, but you are correct, because the last time the Bobcats played UTSA was opening day here in San Marcos against the Roadrunners with a final score of 2-1, when Madison Azua absolutely dominated on the mound, recording 12 strikeouts in her Texas State debut. So, I mean, there is going to be a lot of eyes definitely on this Bobcat team. And just think, the Bobcats, as of now, they have 10 games remaining in the season. They got UTSA. And just think, they're going to be on the road for quite a while.
Road trip for a while.
They're going to be on the road for quite a while. They'll be in San Antonio tomorrow on Wednesday's game, and then they'll be heading to Monroe, Louisiana, to take on ULM for this weekend series. And then they're pretty much done with like the weekday matchups, as they'll be heading off to Hattiesburg, Mississippi against Southern Miss, and then they'll be back home for the finale against the Marshall Thundering Herd. So, obviously, you're going to be on the road for a while. This is where you really need to make do of what you have, because honestly, the Bobcats have actually done pretty successful on the road this season. And just looking at the Sun Belt Conference standings right now, the Bobcats are sitting second, none other than who else? The Louisiana Raging Cajuns. Right behind them is Troy, ULM, and South Alabama, rounding out the top five. So, and just looking at it, Louisiana is 29-14 overall. Texas State's 33-12. So, honestly, if the Bobcats would have had a little bit more Sun Belt Conference wins, then they would be sitting first place. And quite honestly, the roles would have been reversed in all honesty with that. But yes, the Texas State Bobcats will be taking on the UTSA Roadrunners this coming Wednesday at Roadrunner Field in San Antonio. Catch that game on any of the streaming platforms that you can for that one. But now we're going to shift gears real quick, since we got a little bit of time, into some Texas State football, as their spring game was this past weekend. Obviously, so many transitions had been made during the offseason. We obviously know about Jordan McLeod, the reigning Sun Belt Conference Player of the Year, who is here at Texas State trying to rebuild the program. But, you know, there's been rumors saying about, you know, this is more of a game where you either stay with the program or you don't. And I honestly think that rumor is absolutely horrible, in my opinion. But I think this is a team that knows how to win, considering the fact that they just had a remarkable season last year, and they just want to do it all as a unit. And I think that's what really GJ Kenny wants from this group. So I want to ask you guys, you know, does this team have a promise to possibly even go a little bit farther win-wise than they did last season when they finished 8-4?
You know, I think so. I was at the press day after the first spring camp, and I was talking with DJ Kenny, and I asked him about these upcoming like big time opponents we got. We got nationally broadcast against Arizona State this year, and then we got Texas the next year. And then we got a couple more big opponents coming up in the years after. I mean, so this program is getting bigger and bigger, just like, you know, GJ Kenny promised us, you know, to take back Texas. And that's what we're trying to do. So I think with the addition of McLeod and some of the other transfers that have been really big for us, and some of these freshmen coming in are kind of nice. I talked to Kenny about some of them and how they could help our team out and really building back our program, because this is a football school. I don't care. We're a football school, and we got it, man. we're going to take back Texas with Ray Ray McCloud. He going to bring us to the promised land. We're beating everybody.
Everybody?
Everybody. We're winning the Natty undefeated.
Hey, this is number one Bobcat fan here. But no, I'm really excited for the upcoming season. I mean, again, you talk about Jordan McCloud and I mean how he was electric for JMU last season. And all he's going to do is just take this program up further. You have to trust GJ. I mean, you look at the team that he had last year, which wasn't a slouch either, but no one expected them to get as far as they did and do what they did that season. So I think when you've really kind of upgraded in some spots too, and, you know, you've added some more depth and add some younger guys, I mean, I think GJ's really going to take this whole team running. So I'm excited to see what comes in the future. I think it's also good because you have like some seniors that are still here that still kind of have some of the Bobcat pride and kind of the Bobcat, you know, way of how to do things. But you also got a lot of young guys too that are, you know, they're athletic, they're talented. And I think it's a good spot for the program because, like I said, you have building blocks. You have the seniors to kind of reinforce these ideals, but you got a lot of building blocks to continue moving forward with. So I'm very excited to see how this Bobcat football team kind of takes off.
Yes, indeed. So we're just going to have to wait a little bit as the Bobcats won't start their season until August 31st. Will they be taking on Lamar at Bobcat Stadium?
That's a dub.
But they are going to be on at home for the first three games, and then they'll head off to NRG Stadium in Houston to take on Sam Houston. So they have a little bit of a comfort. They have a little bit of a comfort zone here at home. But yes, August 31st, season opener against Lamar here in San Marcos. So we're just gonna have to wait. But that's all the time we got for today. But before we get out, let's throw it to Caleb for weather. And I'm not gonna lie, it's kind of cloudy outside today so far.
I think it's pretty nice. It's a cool little 73. It's cloudy, you know. It's highest you can expect it to be some 79 today, but we can expect some rain tomorrow in the morning, around 6-7 a.m. So, you know, when you're going to your 8 a.m. class, be sure to pack an umbrella. And it's looking like this for the rest of the week too. So, you know, just no sunny skies, but sun's stay
cool. Well,
stay cloudy.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's all the time we have for this episode of Bobcat Radio. If you like this episode, please sure to follow us at KTSW Sports on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and wherever you find KTSW Sports. For my producer Caleb Wellborn and my co-host Roger Jackson, I'm Kobe Jackson. Thank you guys for tuning in to this Monday edition of Bobcat Radio. Have a great day, everybody. Be safe out there.